You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail Cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. This is a special emergency podcast. The Fantasy Premier League game has launched. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Happy FPL day, Josh, and happy FPL day to all our listeners. It is a special time. You thought the World Cup was special. It pales in comparison to a website. refreshing itself. You haven't seen this since Jordan Pickford stopped a penalty in a penalty shootout. The explosion of activity on FPL Twitter was something else.
Quite a lot of it's been literally 48 hours, less than 40. It's been literally 41 hours since this kind of excitement gripped the internet. Question for you: do you think they launched this game earlier than they meant to because of the player price leak that happened this morning?
You do wonder. I was browsing the players, and we'll talk about a number of them coming up, but I stumbled upon my team, Fulham, and their list of players, of which they have 12. As of today, Fulham has one sub, and it's a goalkeeper, so...
Don't get injured.
So, you do wonder, and I think we'll talk a lot about the changes to the game or the fact that there are none. It does feel like they didn't launch it with too many bells and whistles.
I wonder. So this morning, for anybody who has a job or something, I don't know how I saw all this, but like it was sort of like the player price list kind of leaked out, and it was not released on the site itself. Somebody got access to it. Of course, in the way of the internet, you know, somebody leaked it, and then 10,000 people got it and started sharing it out, and who knows where it came from originally. So it's out there, and then suddenly it gets taken down, right? I was getting ready for work. I shared it out. By the time I was on the subway, it was already down. People, of course, had taken screenshots, and people started talking about prices. It turns out that the Fantasy Football Scout, which is kind of a partner of the website or something, or they're involved in some way, they had like a special video they were going to roll out. It's only, it was like, whoa, the game's here. And it was just like, someone was just like, you know what? Let's just release the game. This like, normally they like roll the price. Cause yesterday on Twitter, they were rolling these prices out slowly. Like, oh, you want to see what Sal is? Here's a, let's tease it for 3 hours. You know,
was Bobby Firmino the first price reveal?
It may have been. Yeah. Who's gone up all of 0.5 million over the last years. So I don't know. I don't know, if it leaks, it was always expected to leak today or not, but it has leaked. The game is back. So we are here to talk about it. We've got a lot of different questions from people. We have, so we're going to talk a little bit about changes to the game. There's a lot of talk about the heavy hitters, you know, the really expensive players that that score all the points but cost you a ton of money. We have some big picture strategy questions, and we're going to talk a little bit as well about players on the promoted guides to look out for. Players have changed designations. There's just a lot to cover, a lot of different questions. But this is really more of a first impression podcast. So we're going to do this podcast, and then we'll do team previews. We'll do our annual 10 tips for FPL success based on our own experience. And we always sort of solicit advice from other other smart people out there. I mean, no one's smarter than us, Brandon.
Yeah, I was going to say you might take advice from other people, Josh, but I'm number one, best all time.
Well, it's mostly advice that I take from Brandon. It's a good podcast. Yeah. People seem to like it. We've got
Josh,
some...
you sit on my knee for an hour while I talk to you about FPL, or I talk at you.
It's the most uncomfortable hour of the year for me every year. But people seem to like it, so we'll do it again. We have a couple kickoff questions here. This is from Big I3K on Reddit. It says, first question is a 60-second update on each of your own lives. It says, because we care, 60 seconds only, though, which I think is tough but fair. Brandon, how are you? Are you good?
All right, start the clock. I am good. This FPL podcast was such an emergency. I just want everyone to know, this is me catching you up on where I am in my life. I was meant to pick up my dry cleaning on the way home today, but I had to cut a few errands off of my list of things to do. So I don't have clothes to wear to visit my in-laws this weekend because of this podcast. And that is how much I love FPL and I love our listeners. So
I mean... What's the backup? Like paint splatter jeans, like overalls, like anything?
Yeah, graphic tees.
Right.
Exactly. Like deep V. Yeah. Basically, you know, the what Aguero and Kieran Trippier did to their jerseys during their recent matches in the World Cup. They like took scissors and cut down the collar, and those are the shirts that I have to wear right now hang out with my mother and father-in-law.
You're going to blow them away. Not much else is going on with me. I mean, you and I watched some World Cup games on Tuesday. We did our normal Black Horse trip, and we watched the England-Colombia match, which was kind of hilarious. Not a super exciting game. It was a game that was made more exciting because of Twitter, obviously, and so many people that we follow who you know really care about the England team. I mean, it was basically a one-sided match until the 93rd minute. Yeah. You know, and kind of a, I mean, it wasn't necessarily a fluky goal. It was just a corner kick, you know, a set piece goal, but given the one-sidedness of the match, it was insane that it went to extra time.
Everyone just starts gripping the bottom of their chair. Like, oh no, this can't be happening.
Oh yeah. We were laughing. I mean, it was hilarious. It was just so
not in a complete mean spirited way.
No, we were pulling for England, but it was just like, it was, of course that happened. You know, it was great.
there was a family behind us, a father in a Columbia jersey, and his looked like a 2-year-old also in a Columbia jersey, and that didn't stop us from high-fiving when Jordan Pickford made that last ditch penalty save.
Yeah, and the last thing I'll say is that I really am on my way to becoming a full-on British citizen, because last night, instead of watching the fireworks, my wife and I, after the baby went to bed, just watched Great British Bake Off episodes.
New season on the PBS app.
Exactly. We were like, do you want to go watch fireworks? And she was like, not really. And I was like, I don't either. Let's keep watching the show. So exciting 4th of July for us.
It was funny when you said that you and I watched recently the World Cup. I thought you were going to say that you and I recently got together and watched the movie Roadhouse starring Patrick Swayze, which we also did.
That's a Patreon exclusive pod. I could think I could do a marathon 24 hours on that podcast. No sleep, no water, anything.
All right. That's all more than 120 seconds.
Second question is one player per position that you guys are locking in right away. Just to speed things along, let's just say one player that you're locking in right away. Who's one player, Brandon?
Henrik Mkhitaryan for Arsenal. Arsenal have two really tough fixtures to start, but then it's a sea of pretty I hesitate to say easy fixtures, but very advantageous fixtures for Mickey. And priced at 7.0, that is pretty incredible for
price to buy.
Yeah, Price to Buy. So he's right in the middle of my sights. What about you?
I had Sergio Aguero at $11 million. I think that's a fair price given his returns. I do not think the Jesus will be starting the season with just given how far Brazil. I suppose if Brazil loses tomorrow, maybe he comes back sooner. I think even then, making all the way to the quarterfinals will be far enough into the summer that he's going to need an extended break off, and then he'll need to, you know, train, get back into the squad. I do not think that we see Jesus until the second or third week. So,
and it's not like the man is in scintillating form either.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I think, and I mean, Aguero did make the round of 16, for Argentina, but he actually didn't. I mean, he didn't play incredible minutes, and so those guys, he didn't even play in the third match. So,
yeah,
maybe right. He came on very late in the third match, but you know, didn't get a ton of minutes. So, I think that Aguero is, you know, going to be back with the squad and
scored a couple of nice goals there in the World Cup. So whereas his counterpart Jesus is thus far scoreless.
Yeah, I mean, scored the extra time goal against France. I mean, they almost tied it, which would have been incredible.
Yeah.
So that's who I have in there right away. I actually have Leroy Sané in too. Just, you know, player who has had all summer off and should start like gangbusters. And then one unpopular opinion. So what is the third question?
Yep. I have an unpopular opinion for you, big I3K. There might be too much football in the world.
Yeah, you think so? You're feeling it's feeling like too much right now.
I mean, we were talking before we started recording about how getting back into the FPL site put the FIFA World Cup fantasy game in stark relief. Like, I'm deeply uncomfortable. It's like learning a second language or a third or a fourth language going into that site.
Yeah,
it's really nice back being in FPL, but now I'm juggling both at the same time. When is there going to be a break? Is there really almost? There's basically 5 weeks left until the Premier League season starts, and we still have quarterfinals, semifinals, the final, and the third place match to go in the World Cup. When does it stop?
I don't know. You and I both, we've got some vacations coming up, both of us, though, so we're fine. We're good. Yeah. Don't worry about us.
Yeah.
My unpopular opinion, I think, is more just a boring opinion, and just I've been looking through all the prices, and I think that Burnley is still a team that people are underrating a little bit. And I see a lot of value in that Burnley squad. So I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion, but it feels like a very unsexy opinion. I have not seen a ton of Burnley players in these template squads. And they're fairly priced, but this is an experienced team that hasn't changed. I mean, someone like, you know, Goodmanson at $6 million to me just seems like very good value in that midfield. And the defense, I mean, these guys are still $5 million. That is not a bad Ben Mee or Tarkowski at $5 million seems like an extremely fair price.
It may be fair, but did we only ever rate Burnley to begin with because the value was there at 4.5? Casting my mind back to last season, the second half of the season, clean sheets were pretty hard to come by for Burnley, and I think we stuck with them just because they did always have the potential of the clean sheet.
Yeah.
5.0 will cause us to actually really evaluate Burnley as a team.
True. Yeah.
So, which is fair.
That's true.
I'd
say most of those players have had the summer off. I mean, obviously Gibbonson played for Iceland, but most of the players have had the summer off. Their fixtures are very good to start the season. You don't like them, you know? And so again, unpopular opinion, Brandon, no one likes Burnley, but me. And that's where I want to be. I want to be the
well, but
Burnley
nobody
supporter.
Nobody loves Sam Vokes more than me. And how dare you say that Sam Vokes took the summer off? He's been picking up all manner
practicing
of odd jobs over the summer.
Yeah, he's been working odd jobs. I know he was painting roofs for a while. He's doing great.
Yeah.
All right. So changes to the game. What's new? Basically nothing. The chips are still the same as they were before. The bonus points are the same. We have some players who move positions, which we'll get to in a little bit. But I guess the only thing that has actually changed is something that I don't actually care about personally, but I know it was kind of a big deal to some people on the site, which is that the weekly prize system has changed. So, you know, each week they have a team of the week. It's always some random person who fluked into a super high score. It's like never a team that's doing well in general. And
or it's somebody who created a ghost team.
Right, somebody who created a ghost team, exactly. So you can tell, I guess I'm giving away how I feel about the weekly team of the week. But they've changed it so that you cannot use chips. And you must have joined at least 2 weeks before the game week to be eligible. So if you are, if you want to be, obviously it doesn't apply to like the first 2 weeks of the season, but if you want to be eligible for like the game week five team of the week, then you have to have joined at least 2 weeks before you can't use a chip during that. So that's the triple captain, the bench boost, or the free hit chip, all of which we'll talk about.
What are the prizes? I honestly didn't even know that they had weekly prizes. I just assumed people fell over themselves just to get the highest score of the week and take a screenshot.
It's like once a week I hear someone like goes on Twitter and starts getting really mad about this. And I'm just like, how would you even game for it? It feels like to win team week, it's like the flukiest thing. Like everything would have to break perfectly. I don't know. So I'm not too worked up about that. We have a couple comments. McTavius asks, what are your feelings on the fact that it looks like there are no changes or additions to the chips? Dave Wade, load off front of the podcast, says no changes to BPS. There are conspiracies that prices are changed after scanning message boards, but bonus points are apparently A-OK? ? Missed shots still penalized? Come on. You know, we talked a lot about bonus points last season. It was driven by Mo Salah, a player who was not really a bonus point magnet, despite putting up some pretty incredible statistics. Far and away the overall top point getter in FPL, but he really didn't do it through his accrual of bonus points. And I think you and I differ a little bit on the bonus point system. You're sort of fine with it rewarding people the way it does. I feel like it should reward attacking play a little bit more, and not, I feel like it punishes attacking players a bit too much. But the system is what it is. It's a new season. I don't want to start complaining about bonus points this early. I don't have it in me.
I'm just impressed that Dave actually went through and already scrutinized the BPS algorithm. I just want to respond to McTavius's question, though, and everyone should relate to this. This is the exact feeling that you get when you download the new version of FIFA, be it 17, 18, or 19 that's going to get released in September. It's always the same package with a different skin. I feel like there are seasons of the FIFA game, the video game that is, that they either have a new engine that's happening or they do a full overhaul of the menu system. We are getting the FPL game that is like that off season where they did virtually no changes to the game. And I guess coming out of the World Cup, this would be the season to have a very like low threshold of changes.
It's like when they roll like the iPhone 6S or whatever, right? Where it's like, yeah, we like changed like some of the underlying data, but it's basically the same phone you got last year. You know, it's like the same phone, but 10% better.
The thing that shocked me most is that they didn't do any changes to the chip system. Not like elaborate changes, but we're all in agreement that the bench boost is now the most useless chip. The fact that we got rid of all out attack last season was great. But I feel like we could have done something a little more interesting apart from bench boost. So I'm somewhat surprised. That would have been something that would have gotten a lot more conversation going on about the game online. Not that there wasn't a lot already.
Having played the FIFA game, there are a couple of things like the max captain option, which is basically you play your max captain and then whoever scores the most points for you that week becomes your captain. That's an interesting one. There's some rollovers on captains. And I mean, I'm just going to, I think the easiest explanation here is that, this game, and I don't mean this as a complaint, but it's just the way it is. This game is run through the Fantasy Premier League site, right? The Fantasy Premier League site is the official arm of the game. The goal is not to make things more complicated for people. The goal is to do fun things that get more people to join the game. Right. And so they just don't listen to us nerds. It's just not, that's not their concern. They know we're hooked. They know we're addicts. Everything they do is about making it more fun for people who are casual. And yeah, I think it always works out in the end. I mean, yeah, like people fluke into great scores, and then there's probably going to be someone in your mini league this year who you know, down runs the table all season or whatever, you know. But in general, I think that, you know, all of these bonus point, you know, the you know, figuring out how to use how to, you know, take advantage of players who are bonus point magnets, figuring out how to use the chips correctly. These are things that you just have to adapt to as a good manager, and
the nerds will bend the game to our will.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, it's a new season. Let's not start off complaining too much, you know? So, Dave is an angry man, and, I know he's working on it. Yeah. I know he's in therapy, and, you know, hopefully he'll get through that, but that's between him and his counselor, Brandon.
All right. We're going to talk about heavy hitters now. We have a couple questions from our listeners. Steven Hardman asks, happy with Salah's price? This is the biggest talking point. The greatest FPL season in history last season from Mo Salah. Now he comes in at £13 million. Fair price?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how you could say that he's overpriced given his performance last year.
Okay. I guess that's the wrong question to ask. It's not that is it a fair price? Because yes, in the grand scheme, he's an amazing fantasy player. So it is.
Right.
Is it a price that's going to work in any of our FPL setups?
Yeah, I have him in my current FPL team that I spent like 4 minutes putting together earlier today just for fun. It's amazing how much you can't fit into your team if you have Mo Salah. I mean, it is really, you're probably going to need multiple 4.5 million midfielders, probably going to need a 4.4 million defender. I mean, in order to make him work in the squad right now, I've got Josh King and Billy Reid as my two forwards along with Aguero. So it's, I don't know. I mean,
Red Dagger speaks to this insanity. He says Salah, Sterling, and Kane combo is 36.5% of your total budget. That is a bit nuts. So the squad balance with a guy like Salah is just, it's really going to be tricky.
All right, this is just, you know, just a question. I mean, we're not digging too deep into stats right now, but, you know, Mo Salah, 32 goals, 12 assists last season, 7 bonus points total. No, I'm just kidding. 26 bonus points, 32 goals, 12 assists. I mean, he can't get close to those numbers again, can he?
Yeah. So this is, it's the gambler's fallacy. It's that age old thing that keeps coming up multiple times every FPL season. This idea that surely a player can't keep it up, or surely a player is due for something. You just can't say. This season will obviously be very telling for Salah. Right. Was last season just a miracle season for him? And will he come back to earth ever so slightly? And I can't predict that. I don't know.
Roberto Firmino with 15 goals and 8 assists is 3.5 million cheaper. It's very tempting. I mean, you know,
and Sadio Mane 9.5 as well. So there are some people saying, well, why not just go in for Mane and Firmino, the old coverage discussion. Right. But the way I look at it is, if you believe Liverpool is going to do well, Salah is going to be the one reaping all of the rewards. And I feel like he had to start with Mo Salah.
Let me ask you this. There is a player who was once capable just one year ago, of putting up Mo Salah type numbers, finally gets a summer off for the first time in like 6 years because he's played in like – somehow they like run a Copa America every like other year now. And now is finally rested, finally integrated into a squad. Alexis Sanchez, 10.5 million. I mean, he had 24 goals and 11 assists in the 16-17 season. 9 goals and 10 assists last year, which isn't too shabby. Are you interested in Alexis Sanchez as an option and maybe even as a Salah replacement?
I do like that price very much, but I still have big reservations about him playing for Jose Mourinho. And we saw a whole season of this with Manchester United. They had really flair players who seemed stifled going forward, and they just didn't score enough goals. There was something that didn't look quite right about Alexis Sanchez. So I love the price. I feel like I don't have the guts to jump on him right from game week one.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really, the problem is it's just so hard to move to him, you know? I mean, like with Sala, let's you know, I guess there is a question of whether Sala starts the season. I think he probably will, right? I mean, they only played three matches, but he's, you know, we don't really know where the shoulder is still, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, again, the season's only 4 weeks away. You know, sometimes a player suffered a shoulder, it's months and months, you know? I mean, I guess it's already been 2 months, but
yeah, and Klopp Klopp showed this the last couple of seasons. He's very interested in stretching, setting the pace for his players because he plays the heavy metal style of football. He doesn't want that burnout. So, yeah, I could totally see him resting Salah a bit at the start just to know he can get the better of him toward the end of the season.
Right. Remember how much he was rested at the start of last season? The first, I don't know, maybe two. Was he rested? Maybe two of the first four. I mean, yeah. I think he played in all four of those games, but
he still came in and scored a brace against who was that, Stoke City or somebody else of that ilk.
Just saying, super expensive, coming off an injury. I wonder if there's some options that might be a little more palatable. Moving on to a couple players that are also really expensive. David Rowe says Raheem Sterling is ludicrously overpriced. He's been out of the game, put out of the game like Sanchez was. More expensive than Sanchez, Kevin De Bruyne, and Hazard, full on wrong. Wow. Strong words.
I think I agree with David here. It does really stick out. It's probably the one price that really sticks out is kind of crazy.
I wouldn't say crazy. I mean, 18 goals and 17 assists last year. That's a remarkable turn.
It's an interesting counterpoint to the Mo Salah conversation we were just having, where we're like, well, 13, it seems fair. What a wonderful season. And Sterling was almost as much of a must have for long stretches of last season as Salah was. Yet still, with a team like Man City, they do share the points much more than Liverpool does.
Right.
So
I do. Yeah. And it, okay, one thing we're going to get to in a second here, Brandon, but we talked about this with Jesus. I think it's also true of Sterling. There's a good chance that Sterling isn't in the squad at the start of the season, right? I mean, if England beats Sweden, they're on to the World Cup semifinals, you know, if they make the finals. I mean, you know, we're talking about them being done with the World Cup in a couple weeks' time, and then the season starting like 2 weeks after that.
You could, in theory, have Riyad Mahrez to slot into that position. You've got Bernardo Silva. You have Leroy Sané, which I'm sure will come up later in this podcast. They don't need to jump out of the gates with Raheem Sterling in the starting 11.
Did you see that Gundogan is only 5.5 million?
he gets no respect in the FPL game. He never has. It was the start two seasons ago when he first came to City, right? He looked like he was going to be the FPL asset of all assets when he scored in consecutive matches and he was priced that low.
I mean, the thing is, at 5.5 million, you can just bring him in, and even if he doesn't play some matches, it's fine, you know? And you can just rotate him with some like 5 million fifth midfielder or something. You know, that is really, you look at his returns the last 2 years. I mean, only 4 goals and 2 assists last season, 3 and 1 the season before. But, you know, long-term injury that spanned over those 2 seasons, you know. So, didn't really play that much for Germany, I don't think, right? I mean, I don't think, did he start all 3 of those matches? I don't think so.
I don't think he did either. He looked pretty complacent when he was on the pitch. I mean, like most of the German midfield did, but
Right.
Hard to read too much into that. Jeremiah Johnson asks about the Englishman of the hour, Harry Kane. Jeremiah Johnson says, Kane to blank in August again? Now, will he blank because he'll play and he can't score? Or will Kane blank because he's going to be late coming back into the squad?
Yeah, probably both, right? I mean, Kane is not making my... Okay, so here's the thing. Like, all this, you know...
12.5, is that his price? Is that right?
Yeah, at 12.5, which it's a fair price. In general, I don't have major qualms with any of these player prices. They really do a pretty good job every year, I'd say, of fairly pricing these players. I mean, the fun of it is, of course, is to find it's the expensive players that stick out, but it's the lower price ones that are fun, right? And we have a section coming up about promoted squad players, and those are the ones that are really, you know, where you can just strike gold, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, get, yep. So, To answer his question, Kane is not going to be in my squad the first two or three weeks of the season. I actually think there's a pretty good chance that Kane doesn't play until after the first international break. I mean, the guy needs a break, right? I mean, he just he's played way too much the first few years of his career, led to him being really fatigued at the end of last season, battling injuries. I think, whenever the World Cup's over, he's going to need, two or three weeks to rest. And, two or three weeks from now, though, is when the season's almost ready to start, So I just don't see him slotting right into the squad, even as a younger player. I think it's unlikely.
That whole Spurs could be, depending on how far England goes in the World Cup, that's a lot of, it's almost half of Spurs' starting lineup. It'd be interesting yeah. to see how that impacts the start of their season.
It's interesting. I have Christian Eriksen in my squad right now because I like his price at 9.5 million. And I do think, I was actually thinking about that. I was like, well, someone's got to play, right? So, yeah. I mean, I think, Son is another option too. I mean, Son is only 8.5 million. So,
throw Llorente in there. Llorente coming in at 6.0, sure. And maybe Spurs will bring in yet another bargain basement second string striker.
Throw Harry Winks in there. All right.
Hey.
Just throw him in. Just toss him in there. See what happens.
Just mix it up with Winks.
Gundogan Winks, man. That's the double pivot in my midfield.
Yes.
All right. So last question for heavy hitters. Stay Shining says, if I take out Salah, I have the kind of balanced team I want, but who doesn't buy Salah? We've been here with so many players over the years, haven't we? Who doesn't buy Aguero? Who doesn't buy Kane? It's who doesn't buy Sterling? You can't have everybody. You gotta pick your spots.
Yeah, and that you can recover from that. You can have exit strategies. There are wild cards.
Right.
And, I guess we can underscore this again and again as we gear up for the season. But stay shining. It's all about having fun. Do yourself. Do you.
That's true. Although winning is fun for me. So that's...
It's true.
I think, I was starting to say this earlier, but, I think one thing that... that I think we really want to keep in mind is I think a lot of savvy managers will be planning an early wild card going into the season, because I think there's a team that you could put together for the first 3 or 4 weeks based around players that you know are going to start. Someone like Leroy Sané is just almost guaranteed to start, right? In most if not all of those early matches, because he hasn't played in months,
The way I picture that Man City lineup in the first game week is basically Leroy Sané being the only Man City player on the pitch and still scoring four goals. So, yeah.
Right, exactly. And they have a tough match away to Arsenal to start the season, or possibly to, I don't really, it's an interesting team. Match. It'll be, who knows what Arsenal's going to look like at this point, in 2 months. I mean, it's, I'm really excited about the Unai Emery signing. I think that all the business they've done so far is really good.
Yeah.
We don't even know what they're going to line up like right now, Yeah. So I think it's hard. And I was looking at some of their players. I mean, someone like Kolasinac is, he's down to 5 million. He's pretty tempting at that price. I mean, if he plays, but then you've got Cech and Leno too, and they're both 5 million as well. So, whoever wins the starting spot between those two, is a 5 million starting keeper on Arsenal. I mean, that's a very reasonable price. I mean, it's been a long time since Arsenal had a starting keeper at 5 million or cheaper.
Yeah, Kolasinac is an interesting one, right? Because if he does win favor with Emery, then he has great attacking potential as well. So I would go him over one of those goalkeepers every day.
Yeah, there's just so many fullbacks and wingbacks on that team right now. I mean, they sort of bought him when they were going to do the three at the back. And are they going to hold, they're going to do that? I mean, they've got Lichtsteiner as well now. And I mean, Lichtsteiner is really more of a Bayern competitor. But and now they've got Socrates, which is amazing. So, I mean, just a wonderful philosopher. I think that's really going to help their.
No, he is a purveyor of American soccer-themed T-shirts. Socrates. I think the most exciting prospect with Arsenal and Emery is could he possibly go with two up front? Could Lacazette and Aubameyang be playing together? And if that were the case, 9.5 for Lacazette, or even then you start adjusting for an 11 million striker and Aubameyang, which could be a great deal.
I had Aubameyang in my squad for a while. I really couldn't fit him in if I have Salah. It kind of feels like Salah or Aubameyang for me right now. I don't see Aguero moving out of my squad. Salah, it's like I'm kind of trying to talk myself out of Salah right now. I guess I think that price really does put you in a bind. It really just makes your entire team worse, and you're banking on him replicating a season that I'm just not sure he can. I mean, he's a great player, but it's not like, I don't know. I mean, he was knocking in the goals at Roma too. So, you know, it's not like it like came out of nowhere. It wasn't like he scored, you know, it wasn't like he turned into that Riyad Mahrez the season that, you know, Leicester won the league. I mean, he's put up big numbers in big leagues, but I just don't know if he can replicate it. I mean, he won the Golden Boot as a midfielder. You know, it's pretty incredible.
I mean, as an FPL midfielder, I think you could debate what position he was actually playing on the pitch for Liverpool.
Did you think he was going to get classified as a forward? I
didn't think so. I really didn't. I think certainly how wide he typically played for Liverpool. I think FPL has always favored wide players in the midfield. The bigger talk of wide players is moving them back to defenders, like the Victor Moses effect.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so we'll get to more of those.
Is I'm shocked they didn't move Mo Salah to a defender. That's what I'm saying.
Keeper, actually. I think he's gonna compete with Karius this offseason. Let's move on to what I'm calling big picture strategy questions. This is the first of two questions, Brandon, from Vinyl Richie. These come from the Always Tweeting Slack, which is just great for early FPL conversation. If you'd like to join that, by the way, you can go to patreon.com/always cheating. We're going to talk more about that in a little bit. So Vinyl Richie says, how heavily do we consider the fact that some players played or did not play in the World Cup? Is Aubameyang more attractive than Lukaku Aguero because of this? Is Sanchez over Hazard? I think I'd throw Salah in there as well. More attractive. So we've already been talking about this a little bit. I mean, how heavily are you weighing this right now?
I mean, it's heavy speculation, isn't it? As speculative as it is, we do see actual proof of this. Sanchez is such a great example of this. When Chile won the Copa America, Sanchez wasn't back into the starting lineup for Arsenal for weeks and weeks. So there is precedent. Which players get that treatment is definitely down to what the team sheet looks like, how the manager feels, how fit the player is, how demanding the previous season was. You look at Lukaku was playing, he was playing Champions League. Man United didn't go terribly far in the Champions League, but you know, these guys are, there are players that are playing on all fronts for their club, then jumping into a long World Cup campaign. Those are the players that I would be most concerned about.
I will say in the squad that I have, I'm looking at my full 15 players right now, my kind of, you know, quick sort of team that I put together. There isn't a single player in that 15 who is currently in the quarterfinals of the World Cup. So anybody who is in the quarterfinals or further, or obviously they're heading to the quarterfinals tomorrow, but anyone who's that far advanced in the World Cup is not in my squad. I just don't trust that they're going to be starting for their team going into game week one. All right. Fantasy Football Pundits says, if you had a $10 free bet to predict who this season's sub 7 million golden nugget differential would be, where would your money go?
This is, I feel like if you go sub 7 million, the easy way out is to just go, Marcus Alonso at 6.5.
that's right.
So can we agree that we're taking defenders off of the, off of the table?
All right. Defenders off the table.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Fulham is interesting just because they are known, their current squad is known for playing an attacking style of football, and Tom Carney priced at 5 million. It is somewhat unclear who the penalty taker is going to be for Fulham. They didn't get a ton of penalties last season, but Oliver Norwood, who is this loanee from Brighton, was taking most of their penalties. Carney being the captain, will he be on PKs? Will if they don't get Mitro, will another striker come in? I could see somebody like Danny Ings coming in for Fulham. That would be kind of amazing. And that would be an interesting bet to place on a sub 7 million golden nugget. But I was just going to say, just speaking of sub 7 million and Fulham, we have to talk about Ryan Sessegnon, because all the fantasy podcasts are going to be talking about him, because he's one of the highest rated players coming up from the championship. I think you have to rate Sessegnon higher than Carney just on paper. But as an FPL asset, the savings that you get from Carney, who is locked into a starting role, I take him 9 times out of 10 over Sessegnon at this point.
Interesting. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that's the price is really it. I mean, 1.5 million is huge at that when you're talking about a third or fourth.
And 6.5 is such a pivot point in the midfield. You look at a guy like Theo Walcott, who's at 6.5. I mean, that's a whole conversation that we could have. But if you're comparing a 19-year-old Sessegnon to these really seasoned veterans like Walcott, at the same price, you would go Walcott, I think, over Sessegnon, right? Wouldn't you?
Theo Walcott? I don't think so. No, I mean, I guess it just seems more fun. I mean, okay, obviously, yes, if we're talking about just pure point, I mean, I don't know. I reject the premise.
Fair play.
I don't think I want either one.
Yeah. I think I said the word speculation earlier. That is entire speculation. This conversation is moot as soon as the season starts and we see a couple of games, then we'll actually know what the correct player is to go with. So let's wait and see on that one.
I'll just throw two out. One is Gundogan, who we've already spoken about, 5.5 million. I think there's a good chance he gets some pretty serious minutes this season. I think at that price you can bring him in. And as I said before, you as long as you've got a rotation option there, like a player who you know is going to start, I think it's worth the risk at that price. I mean, he had moments last season where he was an incredibly attacking player, David Silva-esque, I would say. You know, in terms of his kind of willingness to shoot fairly accurately on goal, you know, typically outside the box, but, you know, really, really creative player. And kind of a bonus points magnet, if I recall as well. The other player is, in the kind of limited minutes that he's had, the other player is Bobby Reed, who, Brennan, as you know, I love a short player. Big fan of the shorties.
Yes, you are.
Not a super tall man myself. Bobby Reed, 5.5 million forward for Cardiff. Really fair price, I think, at 5.5 million. I think he's a really interesting option as a third forward. 19 goals, 7 assists in 46 appearances for the championship. They were the championship second place team, Cardiff, last year. He's a short guy. He's cheap. Scores a lot of goals.
Go on, Shorty.
I mean, come on, Shorty. Let's do it. So Bobby Reed to me stands out as an early differential. I think there could be some real value there.
All right. Our friend FPL Ant on the Slack asked, do you think there's enough forwards this year to revive the 3-4-3? So looking at the outlay of strikers, if you take Harry Kane out of it, I saw three big pivot points. You have 11 million where you have Aguero and Aubameyang. You have 9.5 where you have the likes of Firmino and Lacazette, and then you have 7 million where you've now got Zaha and Arnautovic and Sanctosin at Everton rated there. So those are the three price spots that I think we're going to be struggling to fit into a front three if we do it, and then trying to cycle in whichever form player is at those price points. So 11, 9.5, 7.0, can you make that three striker outlay work for you with a strong enough midfield, or do you have to downgrade to the shorties of the world, Josh, the Billy Reeds or the Bobby Reeds?
It feels a little imbalanced to me to have an expensive forward, a Zaha and a Reed, you know, like there's something it feels like that's not the best way to maximize points. I mean, it really depends on whether you've got Salah in your squad. I mean, if you've got a 13 million midfielder, you're probably going to have to lose the money somewhere. And I really like the way they priced defenders this year. And so I don't think I want to lose it there. Right. Yeah. I mean, I actually really like the idea of starting the season with Alonso and Valencia. Valencia, you know, also had the summer off. So I think, You know, I don't know. I think, you know, right now I've got, I actually have Josh King in my forward line.
Okay.
Who I really like at 6.5 million. Super, I think everyone, you know, remembers how disappointing he was at the start of last season. But he was actually quite good down the stretch. He wasn't always starting, I guess, is the, it was the one concern there. It was this kind of the crazy thing where Callum Wilson just started in the face of like a 20 game goalless,
the biggest goal drought in the history of global football.
Exactly. So at 6.5 million, I wonder if that is just a little more of an enabling price. Yeah. So maybe you can have Aguero in a couple weeks. You know, let's say Firmino hasn't played that many minutes for Brazil. He's an interesting one to me because I don't know. He's still training with them, you know. I mean, if Brazil makes the finals and he hasn't started like any of those games, does he need an extended rest still? You know, I don't know. I mean, it's like he's still traveling with them. He's still on the pitch every day. So yeah. I don't know.
I think the biggest takeaway last season was that the 3-5-2 or even a 4-4-2 was working for a lot of the top managers. So, again, we're trying to predict what this season is going to be like, but right now you cannot still dismiss a 4-4-2 or a 3-5-2. Just kind of depends on how much value you see there in the midfield or defense.
I actually think that's something I'm really going to try to work on this year, is being a little less kind of rigid in my approach to formations. I don't know if I can ever do the full on Shane Deere five at the back. That's just like, it's always going to be tough for me, but a 4-4-2 this year makes a lot of sense, especially if you've got Salah as one of your midfielders.
Next question, Joshua, comes from Tom Campbell, who asks, ambitious request. Could I ask for your early favorite, one each, for the following prices, all positions included? So defenders, you're back in it. We're looking at three price points, 4.5 million, 5.5 million, and 6.0 million. So at 4.5, who do you like? Who immediately jumps out at you? This is like the classic bargain defender price tag.
All right. How about this is a weird one. This will not be a popular one, I don't think. How about Masuaku, who has been reclassified as a midfielder? Kind of weirdly, I think. Normally, a player who plays the way that he does gets classified as a that's sort of a wing back role. I guess he played a little more advanced down the stretch, but he's now been classified as a midfielder, which is super annoying. But the FPL game did kind of a cheeky thing, which is they made him 4.5 million. So
how cheeky?
It's very cheap. I think it's kind of cheeky. So at 4.5 million, I kind of like him as a fifth midfielder. You know,
Can we flash back to the amount of vitriol you were pouring on this poor man at the end of last season?
When they're losing clean sheets, sure. But, I mean, he's a pretty attacking player. You know, he sends some good crosses, picks up assists. It's just kind of interesting in that range. I mean, if I was to pick a defender in that 4.5 range, I kind of like DeAndre Yedlin at 4.5.
For sure.
Really, locked in that spot. Feels like he's an American, so it's always kind of fun to have.
Another defender that got Cedric Suarez got 4.5. I feel like FPL Towers finally had it up to here with his antics about his aimless crosses. And we all buy into the Cedric Suarez narrative every season, and it never quite pans out. 4.5 finally feels like a fair price. Particularly with a Southampton team that's trying to bounce back from a wretched season. And Tom Campbell points to Cedric as well as one of his favorites for 4.5. But going back to West Ham real quick, I think this is the land of great 4.5 assets. Of course, Lucas Fabianski, the great debate was, will he come in for West Ham at 4.5 or 5.0? And there he is at 4.5. And Winston Reid, talismanic New Zealand central defender, he was injured at the end of last season, but if he's back and starting for them at 4.5, he's a threat on set pieces. I do like him as a Shane Duffy replacement.
What about your, we're also 4.5 still. What about your boy, Duffy and Dunk, you know, you always have to say them together. What about, Tim Ream or Odoi. I know Odoi scored a goal. Was it in the playoff semifinals?
Yeah, yeah. Odoi is a great header of the ball, and he talked much about his heading prowess after that game when he scored the game winner. But Tim Ream, most Fulham fans voted him player of the season. I don't know. I really just don't know what to make of this Fulham team going into the Premier League. I do wonder if they're going to get overpowered by a lot of Premier League sides. But and Ream is not a great goal scorer.
Well, if they
only
have 12 players, then
that's pretty... Yeah, they will fatigue quickly. he's not a great attacking threat either. I mean, he's really great at playing the ball out of the back for Fulham and starting that attack. But I'm not quite feeling him in FPL right now.
Yeah, at the 5.5 million range, I've already talked about Gundogan. I really like him in that range. Here's kind of a unique one, I think. How about Anthony Knockaert? I wonder if he's got like a second season kind of bounce back season in him. I mean, you remember he was, you know, the sort of talismanic player that helped propel Brighton to the Premier League, you know, going, he kind of like, this happens a lot sometimes with these guys where they sort of, it's like that first, like, I don't know. It's like
this happens a lot where players are good in the championship, but they don't pan out in the Premier League. Is that what you're saying?
But sometimes they actually get better. It's like they need a little bit of time. And I guess I'm thinking of Matt Ritchie here in particular, who everyone was really excited about when Ritchie came up with Bournemouth. It didn't quite work. And then, I don't know, it was like that second time around with Newcastle. He was suddenly a different player, a much more valuable FPL asset. So, I mean, Knockaert, I actually watched, as I think you did too, mostly because they had so many fantasy assets. I watched a fair amount of Brighton last year, and it did feel like he got a little unlucky at times. Like he maybe could have scored, had more assists than he did.
He's such a tryhard. I think that he messes himself up because he's just trying so hard all the time. So if he becomes a little more disciplined, perhaps. My favorite
and Gross is so expensive at 7, so you know you kind
that's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, nice knowing you, Gross. Goodbye. Have a nice life. My favorite player at 5.5 is actually Ederson. If you're willing to spend one of your City slots on defense and you're not going to go with a goalkeeper rotation, I'm not sure you can do better than Ederson at 5.5.
I like that. Yeah, just 5.5 and then that's it, right? He is just...
If you're a set and forget sort of goalkeeper manager, then I think Ederson has the potential to be this season's De Gea.
Would you rotate him with a 4.5 or would you just go with the 4 million?
I would go with the 4 million because I think, well, it depends on what you're going to do with that extra 0.5. If you go Ederson and 4.0 non-starting GK, that's 9.5, right? And or you do a 4.5 double rotation with, say, Fabianski and Matty Ryan Begovic. Or Guaita or something like that. You're only saving 0.5. So you ask yourself, you have to scrutinize the fixtures. Is that a good enough rotation that's going to beat Ederson? And what are you doing with the extra 0.5? I think I'm going to find a lot of things to do with an extra 0.5. As I'm tinkering with my squad, I'm feeling like I'm going to go with a goalkeeper rotation for the first time in a number of seasons.
Yeah, I know. And De Gea, right? They just knocked him up 0.5 and it makes him a little hard to swallow, doesn't it? At 6 million, it just feels like it's a bit too much.
Totally.
The final spot that Tom listed suggested was 6 million. I am not sure I see any
is there a single player priced at 6 million? Maybe Charlie Austin. Is he at 6 million?
I don't love the defenders that are priced at 6 million, at least at the start of the season. I mean, the Spurs have like just a boatload of 6 million defenders, but basically all of them played in the World Cup, and the Belgians are obviously still in it and could be in it for, you know, a while to go. So I guess maybe you could look at Davidson Sanchez, who's 6 million. I mean, they're now out of the World Cup, so that's a possibility. I think in that midfield bracket, I don't know that there's like a 6 million, you know, I don't know, maybe Goodmanson on Burnley. He's an interesting option of 6 million.
Yeah, that's Tom's pick, actually, Goodmanson.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
great
maybe
minds
Goodmanson.
Thinking alike.
And that's it. I hate all of the 6 million forwards. I'm looking at it right now. It's Jermaine Defoe and Callum Wilson and
Charlie Austin is at 6.0.
Charlie Austin. I mean, Ashley Barnes actually played pretty well, but he's not. I don't want Ashley Barnes at the start of the season. That's just, there's nothing fun about having Ashley Barnes at the start of the season.
No, he's not a cool guy. All right, moving on. Next question comes from Shrukaku. Looking at the prices and the way that they played last year, what's the ideal formation to start the season with? 3-4-3 or 4-3-3? We kind of touched upon this earlier. I feel like I have to do a lot more tinkering. Any tinkering at all with my squad just to see what works best. Because Salah is really going to be, I think, what dictates what kind of formation you go with.
Last question from Alan Petty. He says, what lessons did you learn from last year that you were taking into this season? The one that stands out to me is, and I talked about this a little bit earlier, is being too rigid in my thinking, being too rigid in my ideas about formations, in my feelings about players. There's a conservative way to play the game that is very effective, but there's a conservative way to play the game where you're just sort of rejecting ideas, right? Where you're just like, I don't want to have that player because I've had Alonso in the past and I had a 5-week run where he didn't do anything for me. You know, or just like, you know, just like sort of being stuck in your thinking about certain people. And so,
yeah, that's my Van Aanholt problem.
Right. Exactly. Like last year it was like you had to increasingly like strain to explain as he was getting like a goal and a clean sheet, like every game.
I basically had to call him out and challenge him to a fight to prove why I wouldn't bring him into my FPL team. Right.
Yeah. How about you?
I think just acting faster. I'm looking to, and this is not meant to be a team value price market sort of a tip, but I lost a lot of ground sort of hemming and hawing about Raheem Sterling about a third of the way through the season. We had Peter Blake on one of our Patreon episodes, and he took us through the paces like Raheem Sterling. His stats are amazing. Look at him. He is going to go on a great run. Sure enough, he did. And I was too slow in making that leap. Then again, the flip side of that coin is, are we never patient enough with players like Eriksen and De Bruyne or Azpilicueta, those guys that are metronomic and season on season, they're at the top of the points charts. So I feel like I've been too patient in the past. I've been trying to go that metronomic route. This season, I am looking to be a little quicker in my decision making.
Yep. And I actually have that same problem. I'll have one more thing, actually, which is that I get really worried about rotation and it scares me off players sometimes. And I think I was thinking about this recently, and I think that part of the problem I have is that I tend to have very top heavy teams. Like I like to have a lot of money invested in my top players. And, you know, it's like, why have Firmino when I can have Salah, you know? And I sort of go for the, I go for the filet mignon every time. And I think that what ends up happening is that I end up having these overpriced players. And then it really turns me off some of these players like Gundogan, because I'm like, well, I don't want them. If they rotate, I'm screwed because I got nobody on my bench because my team is so top heavy that I basically have a starting 11 and then a bunch of crap on my bench. So if I have a more balanced squad, then I can bring in these players and not worry so much about the rotation risk because I'll have 5 million players, you know, a 5 million defender or 5 million midfielders, like, you know, somebody who represents some value and can maybe score a goal or get a clean sheet. In a way that I didn't really last year in my team. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, doing that could really help me out. And I think, and maybe that's what I was getting at with Salah earlier, is I'm worried about falling into that trap again of the top heavy team and just how much that limits your options.
Yeah. All right. So this is probably a good time for us to take a quick break, right, Josh? And we can come back and we're going to talk about our FIFA World Cup League top 10, our Patreon league for the World Cup, and promoted players who are going to be joining us in this new FPL season. Same old podcast,
always cheating. Brandon, we're back. The Patreon set and forget top 10. There's still some potential for some changes here. I'm looking through Brazil and Belgium. That's really where it is. If you had Belgium, you got a shot still.
Yeah, and I think Sweden still being in there is going to help the likes of Patty Brown, I think, if Sweden is able to eke out a victory. Not that they will against our beloved England. Patty, you've called me out on this. You're an Irishman, and you have no great stake there. So lots of action here.
Yeah, so I'll run through the top 10 quickly. We've got a Patty Brown in 10th, Daniel King in 9th, Sean Mackin in 8th, Rick Hortensius in 7th, Craig Morrison in 6th, Josh Landon, that's me, still hanging on, barely, in the top 10. Well, not just barely, but I keep slipping. Every time we do this, I slip down further. Jesse Halstead is in 4th, William Syme in 3rd, Ricardo Antunes Lou Gutierrez, Ricardo Antunes, and William Syme are all actually tied for third place right now. It may come to tiebreakers, that one, Brandon. So congrats to those three.
Yeah, excellent. And there is a $100 gift card to the worldsoccershop.com in it for those folks. Also for the World Cup, we have a FIFA McDonald's League. Just go through the top 10 there real quick. In 10th place, FPL FC at 252 points. Tied for 8th place, Price Change and Andre 787. And then there is a chunk of 5th place players here. John Mount, Mongoose 888, and Tomaboy. I'm not saying that right. People were laughing at me, but still didn't tell me exactly how to pronounce Tomaboy. Well, whatever. Apparently it's an Irish thing. 4th place, FPL Physio. In moving up into 3rd place, it's Kuden underscore 88. In 2nd place, it's the FPL General, Mark McGettigan. And in 1st place with 270 points, just 1 point ahead of the General, it's Floyd Death, Putin in a shift. So congratulations to Floyd Death. You've got a few more rounds to go there to get a place on our podcast previewing a Premier League team of your choice ahead of FPL season.
That's right. And if you want to listen to an interview with the FPL General, we have an exclusive interview on our Patreon, on our Patreon website. You can actually listen to it on the website or just on the Patreon app. The Patreon, we have some changes, Brandon, to announce. We've got a lot of new pricing tiers and new awesome stuff that we're rolling out this season.
Yeah, we had a working World Cup watch party during Sweden-Switzerland. The game was a bit drab, so we used it as an opportunity to come up with some pretty great ideas for our Patreon supporters.
I really should have saved receipts for that one, Brandon, because that was...
Absolutely, that's a write-off.
There was like the whole 30 minutes where you and I were literally just like... pouring over a notebook while
there was a giant toe-headed man in a Sweden jersey behind us roaring.
Exactly. All right. So some of the things that we are launching for the new Patreon season, that's patreon.com/alwayscheating. We really much, very much appreciate anybody who's willing to donate at any tier. The podcast is actually pretty expensive to produce. It takes a lot of time for us to put everything together. So anything you can do to help support the podcast, it also helps us explain to our families why we spend so much time on this stuff. So
an inordinate amount of time. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So if you want Brendan to explain to his wife why he doesn't have shirts to go to go see his in-laws, it's basically because of this podcast, how much time it takes up. So a couple new things. We have a draft league that we're going to do this year for Patreons at a tier that you can see if you visit the website. I'm not going to get into all the different tiers right now. We're already pretty far into the podcast, but a exclusive draft league for Patreon supporters at a certain pledge level. We have new t-shirts, and these t-shirts will be I survived the 2018-19 FPL season. We're going to have some cool images and logos on there. Anyone who's seen any of the design stuff that Brandon's done over the years knows how good that shirt will look. So be kind of a reward if you stick with the podcast throughout the season.
Yeah, absolutely. The t-shirts, will be producing them at the end of the season, so they're not going to be available right at the start. But as soon as we have the design, maybe we'll get your input and we can add some cool bells and whistles based on your feedback. But that's going to be part of a shop that we're on the verge of launching at alwayscheating.com, where we're going to sell some Always Cheating swag like t-shirts and buttons, as well as your opportunity to be on the Always Cheating podcast. If you are in a mini league and you have a rival that you want to trash talk, or maybe you have a rival that you like and you just want to wish them a happy birthday or say something friendly to them, we are going to be making available available through our shop the opportunity for you to get a shout out or a trash talk at a very pivotal point in every episode of the Always Cheating Pod.
Patrons, yeah. There's also, we'll also offer shout outs at various patron levels too. So that'll be kind of neat. You'll actually get two shout outs per season. Those can be shout outs or trash talk. I assume that trash talk will be more fun. But if you want to talk smack about anybody, it can actually be even be us. I don't really care. But if it's someone in your league that you want to call out, become a patron and you'll get two of those per season. We're going to have a special trash talk call out section. We also are offering producer credit to people at various pledge levels, and you'll actually get a personal thank you at the end of each episode. And that's along with all the stuff that we've been offering our Patreon supporters over the last couple of years, which is exclusive head-to-head league, the Patreon supporters league itself. We'll have a knockout style league. Just a lot of different stuff. And we have, prizes for the winners, and the winners of various things get to actually appear on the podcast. We've had lots of winners, appear on the pod over the last, couple of years. And Jeremiah Johnson is going to be on a podcast sometime soon as well. He's one of the winners of a Patreon league last year. So lots more to come there. But visit patreon.com/alwayscheating to learn more and support the podcast. Anything you can do is very much appreciated.
Josh, also be sure to check out our friends at Starting 11. They have a daily fantasy app that's available in the US, in the UK, Canada, and Germany. You can play cash games during the World Cup, and then, of course, they'll be set to go when the new Premier League season launches as well. It's a fun way to play daily fantasy for cash, challenge friends, or challenge, get involved in challenges all over the world. So go to starting11.io. That's starting11.io for more information on how to download that app for your iOS or Android phone. And our Always Cheating Super League, our big public, hyper-competitive public league, is available to anyone who wants to join, Patreon or not. Just go to alwayscheating.com. We have an auto-join button right there on our website. Just click join. We have more than 500 people already in the Super League for the season upcoming. And I'll put the join link also in the show notes of this episode where you can just click.
Yeah, excellent. 500 people with 12,000 people in the game so far is a pretty good ratio. I like that. So, all right, Brandon, let's get right back into the podcast here. I've got a couple more sections to go here. One is promoted players. Big Luke 575 says, finally, Brandon could talk about Fulham for a whole season. What do you think about Fulham, Brandon? I mean, we talked about them a little bit already, so I don't want to do any retreads here. But are they going to be more attacking? Are they going to be more defensive? Like, what's your feeling about their approach going into next season?
Well, it follows the Huddersfield model, right? Djokanovic, their Serbian manager, he has done an incredible job with this squad. He's got them playing one of the most fluid, sort of continental styles in the championship. Will they, like Huddersfield, bring those principles in the Premier League and see it as a success? I think they have a ton of talent. I think they're probably going to need a little bit more muscle up front. And if they could sign Mitrovic on a permanent deal, that will be huge for Fulham. So there's talk of that possibly happening. If not Mitro, if Newcastle, for whatever reason, decides that he's going to play into their plans, I can't quite understand why. But
not after what he did for Serbia in the World Cup.
So I'm excited to see how it pans out for them. Of course, like any fan of a promoted side, your worst nightmare is that you see them become a yo-yo club. Fulham, it's sort of like the best case scenario. If you've been a fan for a long time, you saw them through a tremendous stretch in the Premier League with lots of great players, getting to the final of a Europa League and then to the lowest of lows. But they had quite a great time in the championship and just the right amount of time for me to appreciate the division. And now they're back in contention for my FPL side. So it's going to be fun. It's nice to see the Fulham badge there on my FPL team page, too.
For sure. And yeah, I've got Tim Ream in my squad. I think you've convinced me to move that over to Odoi.
yeah, a little more attacking prowess for Odoi, for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a squad that's pretty unfinished, as you talked about earlier. I think that we'll know more about them later. It's funny. I think Watford has proven that you can basically change 40% of your team every season and still be fine in the Premier League. It doesn't seem to hurt you that much.
Yeah. They had a fair amount of moving pieces that really crystallized for them. Like Matty Target came on loan from Southampton and filled the flanks for them, but they lost the other defensive winger Fredericks to West Ham. So those are two wingbacks that they're going to have to replace. And
any thoughts on Bettinelli, their keeper? Do you like him, dislike him? No opinion.
No, he's not going to win a game for you. He's not worth that many points, I think, to them throughout the season. So if you
get him over like Fabianski or something.
No,
like that.
No, not at all. I mean, we'll see how the save points start to accumulate, but I don't see a lot of clean sheets for Fulham. I think they're going to be more of an attacking team.
Okay. Bran, we have a few. I put out the call to some of our listeners to talk about some of the championship squads, just some early players to think about. We're going to be doing team preview pods for all of these players all of these teams. So we're going to get more in depth later. This podcast is more about first impressions, but I'm just going to read through a couple of responses that we got from different people just to give you, the listener, a sense of some players to watch out for. Scott Fraser recommends, and again, these are players from Cardiff, Fulham, and Wolves. Scott Fraser says Barry Douglas, 5 goals, 5 million, 14 assists. At least 20 clean sheets last season. Lucas H. Mentions Tom Carney, who we've already talked about, as Fulham's central attacking midfielder. Douglas gets another shout out from Lucas. A lot of love for Douglas. So Barry Douglas was not really on my radar. So to have two different people really shout him out as an option, I think I'm going to give him more consideration. And again, just because it's early on, I don't have a strong opinion on Barry Douglas yet. I'm not going to pretend that I do. Right. Gary Bundy says, if Mitrovic plays for any other Premier team than Newcastle, he's going to score 20 goals. If he plays for Everton, it'll be 25. Okay. So, I don't know about that. 25 goals. That's amazing. If Mitrovic is challenging for the golden ball, I will really be shocked. Golden boot, that is. I'll be shocked. Shivam Thakral says Jota. Am I saying Jota's name correctly? I didn't watch Wolves enough last year to know how to pronounce his name.
Jota or Jota? I'm not entirely sure myself either. Sorry. Wolves had basically won the championship already by the time most people started paying attention to what was going on down
exactly.
there.
Yeah, exactly. And anyone who's a first-time listener, we are really terrible with names. You can blame us. You can blame us for any number of reasons, but being an American is our handy excuse that we try to use.
Sure, sure.
Judging from Wolves, he's termed as a midfielder and he plays further forward. He got 18 goals last season. And he's just 6.5 million.
He's a Portuguese player, just 21 years old, and a great pedigree. Moved to Atletico Madrid in 2016 and then on loan to Porto. So, an interest. See how he'll adapt to the Premier League.
Yeah, and then Mark Perez just throws a little water on the Ruben Neves thing. Neves had a spectacular goal that many people saw at the end of last season, but he says he's more of an assist of the assist type of guy. There's just a few players to think about. We'll get more into them later. And then player I talked about earlier is Bobby Reid at Cardiff, 19 goals and 7 assists in 46 games last year. Most importantly, Brandy, he's 5'7" tall. He's also pretty cheap at 5.5.
And if it's reported online that he's 5'7", at best, he's probably 5'2", right? In real life.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. all right, just quickly, lightning round style here. Some players who change designations. Stephen Toomey says some of the player position changes seem random. We got Zaha and Arnie as forwards while Masuaku becomes a midfielder. Yet players like Alonso and Salah retain their positions from last year. I'm not sure there's much logic behind these FPL decisions.
It does seem kind of haphazard, a bit. Yeah. Like where they decided to make the changes and where they didn't. Yeah. Like Mosuaku seems like the type of FPL asset that could just
fly under the radar for the rest of his career. FPL Towers would never even pay any attention to him. So yeah, it seems a little haphazard to me.
Vinyl Richie says, Zaha and Arnie are both classified as forwards. Does this make them more or less interesting?
Yeah, going back to what I was saying about the outlay of your 2 to 3 strikers, does 7.0 work for your team? Or is, and that to me only works as, I think, a third striker. And that seems expensive for a third striker, right?
Yeah, I mean, Zaha isn't really a forward. You know, I don't know. I mean, it didn't he kind of fill in at forward?
Well,
I mean,
it started really, and that's when
it's so bad.
That's kind of when it started really clicking for Crystal Palace, when Benteke fell out of the lineup. And I don't know. It's a tricky one. I think Arnautovic is more appealing to me at striker at 7.0. I could see if there are a bunch of midfield attackers that really start working in your FPL teams, and you could make Arnautovic work as a second striker, and then you bench a third striker that's a non-entity, then maybe you get Arnie to work.
I guess I feel like it actually makes them more interesting, because I don't feel like there was a – I thought the price bracket for that in that 7 million range was really mediocre last year for forwards, and I kind of like – just for variety's sake, I mean, those guys, Zaha and Arnie, are both players that are I'm happy to consider for my team, right? Yeah. I mean, they're both – interesting options depending on the kind of formation I end up with.
Yeah. And last question on this same topic, PTKAFC asks, what are your thoughts on Tosin versus Zaha for the third striker? So Tosin just gets lumped in now with Zaha and Arnie as a striker at 7.0. Everton have a pretty good run to start the season.
Yeah.
Tosin is an interesting prospect of all people.
Sort of.
Yes, sort of. You have to think about
it. I'm not down for Tosin. I mean, I would much rather have Zaha or Arnautovic over Tosin. I mean, I guess the fixtures are what make him appealing. But I mean, he wasn't that good last season, right? I mean, he had a brace during a game when like four teams played, right? So like he got like a lot of attention for that. But I mean,
and Sam Allardyce apparently hated his guts. He's like, well, Tosin can play once we have assured that we won't get relegated.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how to feel about Tosin right now. I'm willing to reserve judgment, but I'm not super pumped about him. So I would, to answer PTAFC's question, I would go with Zaha over Tosin.
Yeah, but Everton remains an interesting prospect. Marco Silva comes in. He's sort of the golden boy manager who still doesn't know how to actually get success from any team that he ends up at. Couldn't keep hold in the league. Gets fired from Watford for some behind the scenes dealing. What does the new Everton look like? Adam P asks, am I an idiot for considering Walcott despite his renowned fraud status? 6.5 million, new attacking manager, no World Cup, good opening fixtures. Talk me out of it, guys.
It's easy to talk you out of it. You ever had Theo Walcott in your team? Like, oh my God. What a stressful thing.
Well,
such a mess.
Was it two seasons ago when he went on his I'm going to win a coffee maker from my wife for Christmas? And he scored 10 goals before the end of the calendar year. Wasn't that right?
All right. So when do you think he last scored more than 5 goals? How many seasons do you think that's been?
Two seasons.
Oh, actually, you're right. Okay. So he scored 10 last season. But before that, he had 5 goals, 3 seasons in a row. I know he had a knee injury at one point, one of those seasons too, but 5 goals, 5 goals, 5 goals, 10, and then 3. So
yeah, he's playing around a bunch of greedy Arsenal players.
I don't know, man. That guy had like free reign to score as many goals as he possibly. He was trying to get into the England squad. He was trying to score goals and he still couldn't do it this spring. Yeah.
He did the Tim Cahill. Let's go to MLS so I can have more one more World Cup.
Just a couple months away from Walcott is not enough for him to like get me excited. You know, one player on Everton, just while we're talking about them, that is interesting to me is Morgan Schneiderlin, who is 4.5 million this year.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if I have a lot of time for this conversation.
Just quality player, good fixtures to start the season. I mean, it depends on whether he's a sure starter in that squad, but I mean, Morgan Schneiderlin is more than capable of a goal, and I don't know. I have 4.5 million. He's definitely on my radar as a fifth option.
Yeah, it's an interesting price, but he does seem like a shell of the great Southampton player that we saw. Like he was destroyed after his experience at Manchester United.
Yeah, get a new manager. You know, who knows? But he might be a player that we end up talking about a lot this year.
This is an interesting question, just to round things out. You got the touch. Yeah. Ask, what are your thoughts on Loris Karius as a set-and-forget keeper? Loris Karius, after the global humiliation of the Champions League final.
Says he had the same points per game as De Gea, but only cost $5 million. A smaller sample size, though. I think he only played like half the matches. It's going to take a long time for me to get over that Champions League final. And maybe it will for him too. I mean, they're actively looking for a new keeper, right?
Yeah.
So I am not the curious bandwagon.
Also, if you're interested in Liverpool D at 5.0, Dejan Lovren, if he secures a starting position there, he's also at 5.0 and also can score you a couple of goals. So that is perhaps a more interesting proposition for me.
Right. Of course, might not start the season, right? Because of Croatia.
Yeah, that whole Croatian thing.
There's
some global incident happening in Croatia right now. He has to go do like Born Identity style.
All right, that's the podcast. Thank you for listening. It's really fun to be back. It's especially a podcast like this where you get to just react. We'll start doing like real research over the next week, and we'll have our first team previews starting next week. As I talked about before, if you'd like to become a Patreon supporter, it just means you get good, cool stuff for helping out the podcast. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. You can also cancel it at any time. There's no, like, it's not like subscribing to a magazine or something. You can do it for 1 month and then just quit, and that's fine. And we'll never bother you about it. It's completely fine.
Just like all the people you dislike in your mini league who set their team for game week one and then they stop setting it, you could do that to your Patreon subscription.
Exactly. We're not going to harass you. You can give us a 5-star review on iTunes. That would be great.
And that doesn't cost you anything.
Doesn't cost you anything. You can subscribe to the podcast on SoundCloud. This is actually one that I just added because it's nice to know who's actually listening to the podcast. And if you subscribe to the podcast on SoundCloud, not only do you, get, basically the first crack at the podcast when it's released, but it helps us get a profile of who's actually listening to the podcast too. So
yeah,
that's another option.
And of course, the podcast is available anywhere you get your podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, to tune in or whatever, wherever.
Right, exactly. You can follow the podcast on Twitter as well. We're at Hail Cheaters. That's H-A-I-L Cheaters. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/alwayscheating. You can visit the website, alwayscheating.com. You can email us, hailcheaters@gmail.com. I have one final request. I know we're making a lot of requests here, but if you've listened this far, if you enjoyed the podcast, we'll be sharing it out on Twitter and Facebook and Reddit, lots of other places. If you would share the podcast, just a simple retweet or send a link to a friend, it's a new season and, there's going to be lots of new players. Hopefully people who saw the World Cup who are excited about playing fantasy or who maybe never done fantasy ever, but would think it was a fun thing to do. Maybe you get them to join your mini league because you think they're free money or, dead money. That's fine. But if you could just share out the podcast with a retweet or share it on Facebook with your friends or whatever, that would be really much appreciated. It really helps us to grow the podcast and, makes it feel like it's really worth doing. Like we're really helping to build a network of people. So, that's my personal request. It's not even part of the running order, but if you do that, that would be great.
Make FPL fun again. Let's do it all together.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Brandon. See you next week.
All right. Bye, Josh.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. in hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.